join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is The Wealth Transfer by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
God said, I will intervene and cause a wealth transfer and judgment. Look at Psalm 103 and verse 6. It says, the Lord executed righteousness and judgment for some that are oppressed. I just want to see if y'all was listening, know, and watch and reading. For all that are oppressed. If you've been oppressed and you have a history of oppression, if you come from oppression, you have a right to expect God to execute righteousness and judgment on your behalf. Glory to God. Come on. See, some of us, we didn't know that we got a right to get God involved. See, that's why sometimes people take these things in their own hands and try to execute their own judgment. God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Whatever is right, I'm going to pay. The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. So now, when we look at James 5, in waiting for God to bring about wealth transfer through his system, he says, remember the patience of Job. Remember the patience of Job. Though he suffered, but he maintained his integrity. He kept being faithful to God. God rewarded him at the end with twice as much as the devil had stolen from him. Look at Job 20, verse 15 through 21. Now, this is a quote from Job saying what God does with the wicked rich. Job 20, verse 15. They will vomit the wealth they have swallowed. God won't let them keep it down. They will suck the poison of cobras. The viper will kill them. They will never again enjoy streams of olive oil or rivers of milk and honey. They will give back everything they work for. Their wealth will bring them no joy. Why? For they oppressed the poor and left them destitute. They foreclosed on their homes. This is New Living Translation. They foreclosed on their homes. They were always greedy and never satisfied. Nothing remains of all the things they dreamed about. Nothing is left after they finish gorging themselves. Therefore, their prosperity will not endure. See, God doesn't just want us to have prosperity. He wants us to have lasting prosperity and enduring prosperity. I told y'all years ago, and some of you heard me, if you've been listening to my teaching, especially for years, I often tell the story how when I was a young man in my early 20s. We had just got married. We had one child. I think we had another child on the way. And it looked like we couldn't make ends meet. It looked like just as I got another job to get over the poverty line as described by a family of two or three or four, you know, we would get over the poverty line. For a family of two, then I got another one. took us under. Then we get over to poverty land for three, and then we get four. I said, man. And then we get over to poverty land for four, and then we get another child. And look like we just, I'm serious, because, you know, because I'm a, you know, I studied sociology, so I'm over looking at these stats, and I knew what the income was for a family. And look like I couldn't get over the poverty line, because Pastor Marcia kept having babies. You know, and she would chase me around the house and stuff. And I would say, stop, baby. I'm trying to get from under the poverty line. But she wouldn't listen. And so, I remember, and so I said, God, I remember praying. I looked at all our bills and what we could do. I said, God, I just need $30,000. I need 30. And I went down to the church, and I was down at the altar praying the way us Black Pentecostal prayed, the way they talk, and I'm down and I'm moaning, I'm praying, 30,000, Lord, 30,000, God, you're able, 30,000, Jesus, send it, Lord, 30,000, oh, Lord, 30,000, not 29.99, but 30,000, oh, God, you're able, I know you're able. And I'm crying out, and I'm moaning, and I'm praying, and I'm chanting for 30,000. The Lord said, get up, shut up. Get up and shut up, or shut up and get up. Both of those were involved in what he said to me. I said, huh? Lord said, get up and shut up. Lord said, I'm not giving you 30,000. And I thought that was such a mean God. And I remember, I really told the Lord, I'm having the dialogue. I said, God, if I had 30,000, you asked me for 30,000, I gave it to you. And the Lord said something to me that it took me years to understand. The Lord said to me, you were interested in prospering, and I'm interested in you having prosperity. I didn't understand what that meant. Now I understand what God said. You were interested, you want an event, and I want to give you a lifestyle. Because, see, you get this one prosperity event, 30,000, and they're going to help you for today. But if your mind is not renewed, because as a man thinketh, so is he. So you can get $1 million, you still think poor. And a million will drive you further into poverty because you don't know what to do with it, or you just spend it foolishly because you still have a poverty mindset. You don't know how to give. You don't know how to invest. You don't know how to manage. And so you got to get free in your mind first. The scripture says here, nothing is left after they finish gorging themselves. Therefore, their prosperity will not endure. God wants to give us lasting prosperity that goes from generation to generation to generation, that we don't get rich in one generation and then a couple generations it gets up taken away because we got it the wrong way, or we oppressed people, we took advantage of people. Keep going here. So what does God say? Let's look some more how God gives us this theme about the wealth transfer in the scripture. Proverbs 13 and verse 22. Many of us, we've heard this one before. It says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Okay, so now the first part of this is the natural wealth transfer. Boy, this is so good. That I just got finished reading you. Okay, if you Google wealth transfer, you're going to see all the financial houses explain to you how to set up for retirement, how to pass on wealth to your children. Because this is a thing. It's a thing that they're talking about over these next few years, that the baby boomers, as they're dying and getting older, they're going to need to pass on their wealth to their children. And so that's the natural part, the first part. A good man, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. You know, nothing wrong with leaving wealth to your children. A good man leaves his inheritance to his children's children. Now this is talking about a righteous rich person. A good man leaves inheritance to his children's children. He leaves something for his children, for his grandchildren, goes to the second, third, even fourth generation. But he said, everybody doesn't have that. So here's another way God said, I'm going to get wealth to my people. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Glory to God. Can I tell you, this ain't the time to be sinning. This time to be the just. The wealth, he said, just like a good man will leave natural inheritance and pass down riches to his family, God said, I will pass down the wealth of wicked sinners and an unjust rich and wicked rich to just people. Glory to God. You ought to get excited about that. Listen to that verse from the New Living Translation. Good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren. But means something about to change here. But the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. Glory to God. Come on. God said, I will pass the sinner's wealth to godly people, regardless of the race, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of whether you came from wealth or not, regardless of whether you came from privilege or not. God said, I will set things up for you. And remember, the will of God is not automatic. So now that you see these promises in the word, you're going to have to start confessing it. You're going to have to start declaring it. You're going to have to start receiving it, that God got some wicked wealth that's going to come into your hands. God, good people leaving the inheritance to the grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. That verse from one other translation, the Amplified. The reason why I give it to you from translation, because see, sometimes people think about, see, he's just taking it out of context, and he's just taking it. No, I want you to see line upon line these themes and these principles that are in the scripture. So the third one I want to give you from Proverbs 13:22 is the Amplified version. And it says, a good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner, here we go, finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. God says, I got them working, but they don't know they ain't working for the grandchildren. They working it so I can give it to my children. He said, the wealth of the sinner, the wicked rich, finds its way into the hands of sinners for whom it was laid up. Those you've been around Right Direction for a number of years, now you know where I get that expression that I often say. Money's looking for me right now. Come on, say that with me. Say, money is looking for me right now, because God said, I will cause the wealth of the wicked sinners and wicked rich to find its way into the hands of the righteous. Find its way means it's looking. It's looking. There's some money that's looking for you right now, glory to God, to bring into the kingdom of God, to get your family out of poverty, to change somebody else's life, to administer, to eliminate misfortune in the lives of other people rather than just hoard up for yourself, to build and to expand the kingdom of God. God will give seed to the sower. So the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous. All right? As I start wrapping this up. Now, you got to tune in next week, because next week I'm going to give you some real, very practical things of what you can do to set yourself up for the wealth transfer. Because it's happening. It's happening in my life. It's happening in the life of this church. Okay, let me stop right here. Let me stop right here and remind you of something. We're sitting here on now 30 acres of land. We're sitting here on 30 acres of land. It started off with 22. Well, what happened? The land that our church is on now, that our worship center and our family life center that we built in 2008 and our children's building that we built, these multi-million-dollar buildings in 2016, none of these three buildings were here. We had a little building that we call our social center. Well, that social center originally was the clubhouse. Thank you. That was the clubhouse. This was a three-par golf course. Nothing but land and a clubhouse. Three-par golf course. The man who owned the land, who I heard this from someone else. I only met him one time. They said, man, say, he's just not a nice guy. He's a bad guy. He said he just takes advantage of people and all this. Well, he came by to meet me one day after we got the land. He lost the land because they had video poker here. That's how the golf course wasn't even paying for itself. He had video poker here in what is now our social center, was the clubhouse. Well, close to about 20 years ago, video poker became illegal in South Carolina. They stopped video poker. When they stopped video poker, he no longer had the money to sustain this property. And it went into bankruptcy, and the bank foreclosed on it. And we were able to get that land. And I'm not just saying this because he ran video poker. I'm going by what other people said to me about the man. One day he came by after we had gotten the land. He said, I'm the guy who used to own this blankly blank, blank, blank land. And he said, but then they changed the laws. They couldn't have video poker. And I had blankly blank amount of money. I had so much blankly blank money coming. And the more that man talked, I said, I see why I got this land. Are y'all listening to me? And And let me tell you some other stuff while I'm here, while testifying. When I first came to this city in 1995, and we started the ministry in 1996, I knew nothing about this city. I knew nothing, but all I went visiting or driving around. I had a piece in my heart about where I was supposed to live, what area of town. I had a piece in my heart about where we were supposed to start the church. I knew nothing. A gentleman in another part of town told me years later after our church grew, he said, "Man, that was so smart of you to plant a black church up in that area." First of all, I told you I wasn't trying to plant a black church. Trying to plant a church, the black people just kept coming. And they're still coming. I don't know why. Okay, so it wasn't set out to be a black church. It was set out to be a church. And then he said to me, "You know, there were no other black churches in that area. That was so smart." Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know the area. I didn't know the town. And then when we went looking for land to buy, I can't remember how I got connected with him. I think someone in the church referred me to a realtor who supposedly was one of the most prominent African-American realtors in the city. Someone referred me to him, get in the car, and I said, "Well, I'm going to have to build, so I need land. I need at least 20 acres. And he started taking me to all other areas of town. He took me, if you're here in Columbia, he took me up Fairfield Road. He took me up Monticello Road. He took me way down Shop Road. He took me way into Richland County, down Bluff Road. He took me down to Bible Way territory. He started taking me to all these other areas, and I just didn't have a peace about it. I said, "No, I'm not supposed to be up in there." I said, "I'm supposed to be up in that area of town where we are there, the St. Andrews, Irmo area." The man got mad at me and almost started cussing me out. He said, "Well, let me tell you something." He said, "First of all, black people don't have land like that up in that area. And he said to me, "And if you did find it, they won't sell it to you. And if they did sell it to you, you wouldn't have enough money to afford it." I told the man, I said, "Listen, take me back to my car. I learned from that. I never go in a car with a realtor that I don't know. That's something I learned. I'll meet you there. I drive my own car." Okay. But I told him, I said, "You may know this city and you may know real estate, but I know the voice of God. And God told me he's going to give us land here in this area." And then God gave us his 22 acres. And then after he gave the 22 acres, as I sat down with an architect, and he said to me, for your vision, you still don't have enough land. You're going to need at least another 5 acres. Went driving and found another 8 acres with a little sign like this in the brush. And we were able to buy that land cash. God is faithful. God is faithful. You don't know how. Listen, I don't know how God's going to give it to you, but some wicked person got something right now that's belonging to you, and you need to claim it, that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the judge. It's eventually going to find its way to you through a supernatural act of God. Let me start wrapping this up here. Now, I want to watch this. Remember I said, rich, wicked people think they're working for themselves, but they're working for righteous people. They just don't know it. Let me show you that again in the scripture. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 26. It says, "For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he giveth travail." That means trouble and hard work. "To the sinner, he giveth travail." Why? "To gather and to heap up." Why? "That he may give to him that is good before God." "This is vanity and vexation of spirit." So the writer says, "Listen, I've seen this thing happen. This don't make no sense. Man be working his whole life, working hard, trying to get what he got." He said, "And then God will take that this sinner worked for and struggled for and to build, and he thinks he's heaping it up for himself." It says that he may have to give to him that is good before God. So God says, "I will cause the sinner to heap up so he can have money to give to you." Oh, my God. Now, this wealth transfer. I ain't calling everybody sinners. I ain't calling anybody wicked. But I just see it happening. The fact that a man who was one time constantly back between 1 and 2, 1 and 2, 2 and 1, between Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, they get together. If you can watch on Netflix, Bill Gates' story, his documentaries. His mother says to him, "You need to meet this guy, Warren Buffett." He said, "I'm not interested in stocks. I start businesses and do software. I'm not interested in that. He makes money." The mother said, "You just need to meet him." I'm going to set up a meeting. They met, supposed to be talking for about 3 minutes. I mean, supposed to be talking about for about 30 minutes tops, something like that. Well, they ended up talking for about 3 or 4 hours. Then they got on the phone together, and they decided together that before they die, they're going to give away at least, they're going to give away the majority of their wealth to the poor and to needy causes, and they're changing the world with it, even all across Africa. That's wealth transfer. That's wealth transfer. Now, y'all know the children saying, you don't need to give it all away. They're like, well, no, it's going to be enough to take care of you, but we're going to take the majority of it and change the world with it. Listen to that verse, Ecclesiastes 2:26 from New Living Translation. God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please him. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away and gives it to those who please him. And am I making this up, or are you reading that in the Word? If a sinner becomes wealthy, God will takes it away and gives it to those who please him. This too is meaningless, like chasing the wind. And then that verse from the Message paraphrase. It says, God may give wisdom and knowledge and joy to his favorites, but sinners are assigned a life of hard labor and end up turning their wages over to God's favorites. Anybody know that you want a God's favorites? Come on now. You got to know you want a God's favorites. If you don't love anybody else, he loves you. He don't take care of anybody else. You got to say, he takes care of me. The Lord will bless the house of Israel. He'll bless the house of Jacob. Come on. He'll bless Herb's house. Put your house in there. He'll bless your house. Just stay faithful before God. Don't get mad. Don't take things in your own hand. Cry out to God when you see unrighteousness and injustice and oppression. God said, just keep living for me. Stay faithful to my kingdom and watch me bring it into your hands at the right time. You'll have more than you need to do what I called you to do. Now with that, let's go back to the scripture I started reading for the offering and that I was reading this morning. So Luke 12, it talks about the rich man, the rich hoarder. Let's pull all this together here. Luke 12, starting verse 16. Luke 12 and 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Great harvest. He was rich. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? If I have no room to bestow my fruits. Now, if he was righteous rich, he said, man, I got a lot. I can bless people. I can build synagogues. I can help people. I can educate people. I can change the world. I can eliminate misfortune in somebody else's life. That's not what he said. He said, what am I going to do with all this stuff? Verse 18. And he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down my barns. I'm going to build greater. And there I'm going to bestow all my fruits and my goods. He said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to hoard up for myself. I'm going to store up for myself. We call them hoarders today. Verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Oh, but now Ecclesiastes 2 going into play. Now Proverbs 32 going into play. Now James 5 going into play. Now Job 20 is going into play. Now Psalm 52 is going into play, where God said, no, but I'll cause a wealth transfer. Now look at this. And I will say to the soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, but, that's something about to change. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then God asked a question, to which now we have the answer by knowing how to rightly divide the word. But who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So you store it up for yourself, you hold it up for yourself, and the Bible doesn't even say how he got it, but we know he was selfish. We know he didn't think about anybody else. God said, unite, your soul is quiet of you this night. In other words, you're going to die this night. You're never going to be able to live and enjoy all that stuff that you had. He said, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? We have the answer. It's going to go to a righteous person. It's going to go to somebody who's right before God. Is going to go to somebody who was oppressed, who was taken advantage of. Listen, during these times, watch it. Look for it. the wealth transfer. See it happening. I'm reading these articles specifically about African Americans, but I believe it can apply to more than that. It applies to righteous people, but especially for African Americans, because we have a history. We're the ones, according to James 5, whose riches were kept back. He said, according to James 5 and verse 4, the hire of the laborers who reap down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud. When you go on that article that I mentioned earlier, see, after slavery and after emancipation, a new system of oppression came about called sharecropping. And many poor people, and particularly African Americans, were not educated. They couldn't count. They didn't know accounting. They didn't know income and expenses. They didn't know profit and loss. They didn't know balance sheets. And so they would work a deal with them. Okay, well, you can stay here and work the land, and we're just going to share it with you. We're going to share the harvest with you. And then they would lie and cheat them out of that. And then rather than give them the money, they said, no, you're in debt because the harvest didn't come. And then they would just keep them working for years and years and keep them in debt. Another way of oppression. Jim Crow, another way of oppression. Segregation, another way of oppression. Redlining, drawing circles in real estate and in the cities and property, saying we're going to make sure we keep these people out of there and let them all stay in this neighborhood. That's another way of oppression, because the number one way that people acquire wealth in America is through home ownership. All those were systematic ways of oppression. But God says, I've seen it. And even during this time, I'll cause the wealth to come into your generation and into this generation.
There is a wealth transfer that God wants to get to believers. In this informative series, Bishop Herbert Bailey gives us the keys to taking advantage of wealth transfer opportunities. To order, please call 877-798-5433 or go to www.rightdirection.info. Ask for the wealth transfer. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info, or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.